handoff. Johnson, right side, 15, breaking the tackle, 10, to the 5, to the pylon. He's in! Touchdown, David Johnson. Welcome to the Texans.
Kelce in motion again, right to left. Four-man rush. Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Kelce, touchdown! Kansas City shielding his shoulder just inside the linebacker. And the Chiefs cap off a spectacular drive. They zone block it to the right. Cut back left run. It goes to Edwards-Helaire. 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, CEH with TD 1. What a night for the rookie-clad Edwards-Helaire. A great cutback run.
The 2020 NFL season is officially underway, and the team that won the last game of the previous season wins the first game of the new one. It is the Kansas City Chiefs, who win 34-20 over the Houston Texans in front of almost 19,000 people at Arrowhead Stadium. Yes, and the rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the star on offense for the Chiefs, running for 138 yards and a score. Dan Hans is here along with the rest of the heroes, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, and Chris Wessling. And Wes, this was not the type of game that you come to expect from Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, where they're just wowing you with big play after big play. But at the end of the game, you look up, they have 34 points, and they're cruising past another team that simply had no answers.
And that's not counting the best throw of the night, which Patrick Mahomes put on DeMarcus Robinson's hands in the back of the end zone, and he couldn't come down with it. Could have been a 40-point game, and you're talking about not hitting their stride quite yet and relying more on the rookie running back than the passing game. So as Greg said at one point late in the game, I'm here rooting for the Chiefs like Wes used to root for the Patriots, just out of pure excellence in football.
Right. I mean, you should be able to appreciate excellence, greatness. I think this is what Mahomes is and what this team's going to be. And it reminded me so much of the playoff game against the Texans in that, okay, you can show a lot of different things defensively early, and Chris Collinsworth is going crazy, and Dan is really getting excited about Dreamweaver, the attractive new defensive coordinator for the Texans, Anthony Weaver. And it's like, wow, they're really
photogenic.
They're mixing them up, and it's like, okay, that's great for like two or three drives. And then Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes kind of figures out what you're doing. And tonight what they needed to do to win was just to slowly move the ball up and down the field. So it's like, okay, we'll do that, and we'll have 31 points with 11 minutes left in the game. And oh, by the way, when you were doing well early, it was like one punt and a drop touchdown in the end zone. You really didn't do them. It just, they make it look so easy. It's wild.
I'd point to their drive that was a 16-play 91-yard drive that made it 14-7. And you get down 14-7 to the Chiefs, it feels like a lot different than it does to other teams. That ate 9-plus minutes off the clock. There's another thing that stuck out to me. We spent months saying that, you know, week one, if it ever even happened, would be sloppy. It would be a hot mess, that even, you know, veteran-laden teams would be figuring themselves out. One penalty by the Chiefs for 5 yards. And Greg spent part of our preview show on our YouTube live session talking about how Andy Reid historically with the Chiefs has come out and dropped bombs on teams in week one. And there were a lot of issues for everyone this time around, but I thought they got cleaner as the game went along, and they just simply look at, they had to win a little bit of a different way today. But I see a team with Edwards-Helaire who gives them a totally new dynamic in the backfield. And they get an interception by Legarius Sneed, their fourth-round cornerback. They have younger players adding to a team that seemed invincible a year ago. I'd be a little bit terrified if I were in the AFC West or parts beyond.
I mean, I wouldn't hand out lollipops just yet. Let's see the rest of the week one schedule, because the Chiefs have continuity on their side, and they have Patrick Mahomes and an offense that's pretty much constructed as it was last year. But listen, this is a great, great team. And by the way, I don't know what the scientists were saying, but yes. You should be able to truly appreciate greatness. All right, but when it happens 20 straight years and that team's from the division that your favorite team's in, maybe it's not so beautiful. It's not some ballet on the gridiron. But, you know, whatever. For now, though, I agree with you, because I'm not a Chiefs fan. I don't have skin in the game, but it is fun to watch this team that's now a juggernaut. It's a defending Super Bowl champion, that it feels like we're just getting to know this team, that this is going to be a team that's in the mix and is going to be a high-level power in the NFL for potentially years to come. And, you know, on the Texans side of the ball, I thought, you know, a lot of the same issues. DeAndre Hopkins isn't there, and I know Will Fuller, statistically, when you look at the box score, it's like, oh, look, he stepped right into Hopkins' shoes, but that's really not what happened here. Kurt Warner, I was listening to a little bit of the game on Westwood One. We went to Westling Manor with Wes and Lakeisha.
Oh, yeah.
And Young Link and Wes's mother-in-law. And we were watching the game. And once it got out of hand in the fourth quarter, drove back. And Kurt Warner made a good point. He was kind of getting on the roster construction of Bill O'Brien's team a little bit, which is, listen, when you have this many number two, established number two receivers, it's a little tricky to like ask somebody to become the number one guy. And what was happening too much in this game is what tends to happen when the Texans defense offense gets bogged down, which is plays aren't opening up. And all of a sudden you see Deshaun Watson dancing around, trying to make something happen desperately. And that only goes so far. And we saw that again. And you hope that's not a sign of things to come for the Texans this season. But it was today. It was today.
They struggled to protect him, and they couldn't get anything open deep. Titus Howard in particular struggled in pass protection. That was a problem, and I think that point by Kurt Warner is fair. But also, Deshaun Watson is so used to looking at DeAndre Hopkins and throwing to him in key situations, whether he's covered or uncovered, and it's going to take him time to get used to these new guys. I thought it was interesting that Randall Cobb and Will Fuller played twice as many snaps as Kenny Stills and Brandon Cooks.
Well, Cooks has had an injury, so that partly explains that. But you wouldn't have known Cobb played that many snaps. I mean, yeah, I think he had a couple catches for 23 yards. It's a lot
in
to ask
time.
Their offense. I was impressed, though, by the Chiefs' defense. I mean, this is a reminder. When Frank Clark and Chris Jones are together and healthy, which they really weren't for most of last year until the very end, when their defense played the best they played all year, that's a really strong tandem. And Jones stopped a couple drives on his own, as Wes mentioned. Clark was eating up Titus Howard, the Texans. And, oh, by the way, your boy Hansis, Laramie Tunsil. He did get a false start very quickly. So he's staying right on pace for that, you know, one penalty per game. That's Tunsil's lane.
I want one little aesthetic note. I came home from Wes's and watched the
My
game
boy,
with
Laramie Tunsil. Go ahead.
I watched the game with Simone and the kids, and like she was very annoyed by this one Chiefs player that had these bright yellow gloves because, you know, when he was dancing around like chasing a receiver. And it looks like a flag. And I think at the end, they actually, the announcers thought that there was a flag. You cannot be wearing yellow gloves, anyone in the NFL. I understand that's part of your color palette, but
could not agree more. Could not agree more with Simone on this issue.
Let's dig in deeper on this. Let's keep going.
I think I've drawn it out as far as I can, but I just.
But Edwards-Helaire, Wes, we talked about it. I think because he has the same number, I was like, wow, he has a little bit of a LeSean McCoy vibe to him, but he is smaller than that. But even on a run near the end of the game, and like I said, 138 yards in their last drive that ended up with a field goal that Al Michaels beautifully let the audience know with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge that it affected a lot of things in the desert. He dropped his shoulder, stayed on his feet, got an extra 7 yards.
Yeah.
If you are a Chiefs fan, if you are Andy Reid, if you're a fantasy fan who took this guy in the first round, you are feeling bullish right now after what Clyde Edwards-Helaire did in his debut.
Yeah, I thought he ran really decisively, looked great in the middle of the field. And if you're the Chiefs, you might worry a little bit that he got stuffed so easily at the goal line so many times.
That was the one downside.
His strength, though, is also, I mean, he set LSU's pass catching record for running backs. I mean, they haven't really even tapped into that in this game. And I can't, you know, and Andy Reid is sort of a master at, you know, creating the screen game advantages. So I think we're just starting to see the beginning, but it reminds like the, you know, throwing them into the middle of the defense over and over, like on third and fourth and short and stuff. That didn't seem to be something that he had mastered at this point.
Well, he's going to be a great player for them. But it's like, slow down on just like giving all the credit to Helaire. Like he's going to be great for them. I heard them say some stat. It's like, it's the most yards for a first round pick in his debut or this or that. And I'm thinking, Didn't Kareem Hunt go up and down the field and drop a bomb on the Patriots in his first game ever? It's like, well, he wasn't a first-round pick, but he put up about 200 yards in the same offense with the same coach. It was the same quarterback back then, right? Or that might have even been Alex Smith. They put a 40-burger up. I mean, that kind of makes my point for me that you can put anyone in there. You can put Damian Williams, and he might be a Super Bowl MVP. There's just so many other things to worry about. Like, you're going to let Allaire beat you. I mean, it's going to take a special defense to give them problems. And I think we know the Texans have a long way to go to be a special defense this year.
I mean, apparently he's a borderline XFL player based on your commentary.
I'm saying
now,
he's
Greg,
like a very good player, but I'm saying if you put any first round running back in there, they're going to do well.
I know what you're saying, but he did a few things today, even though it wasn't a perfect game. And you know, they're gonna be working on it this week over the next 10 days to get better in goal line situations because it wasn't pretty, but he's flashed enough that made you think, oh God, if this actually does play out the way a lot of people thought it could, that this guy is special. You literally can't stop the Chiefs.
Right. He'll be Kareem Hunt without the problems, really.
Because even if you had Damian Williams or whomever back there, they have so many people that Patrick Mahomes can go to on this offense. And they talked about it on the telecast as well, that pick your poison. But with someone as good as Mahomes behind center, he's going to find the guy, and they're just going to score points every single game. And then it just becomes about, can you score against the defense? And we mentioned this in our YouTube preview, over the last six games of the regular season last year, they averaged 11.5 points allowed on defense, Kansas City, then go win three games in the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. So the defenses should not be overlooked here. This is a special team potentially.
Hmm.
And they spent less money on defense last year than any team in the league and won the Super Bowl with it. So I just, you know, I couldn't be more impressed with the team building effort in Kansas City. I will ask you guys one question because, you know, Greg and I were sitting, we were socially distanced, but we were in the corner of West Manor, you know, having a little bit of a discussion back and forth. Did the players at all look a little hesitant on defense when it came to tackling or a little bit off their feet and maybe a little bit tired towards the end of the first half? And I think that's something that would carry over to Sunday. I mean, it was a little sloppy, and then it almost like they course corrected by the end of the game.
It's tough to tell. Like, I think the Chiefs offense was a little sloppier than normal. It's one of those things that's like, they're still going to be NFL players, but yeah, I think the tackling and the defense for the most part is going to be hard. Then again, you look at like the numbers and you keep Patrick Mahomes under 7 yards per attempt. I know you mentioned before the show, Dan, and it's like, I guess that's a good job. You know, at least keeping the big plays off the board relatively. I just was thinking though, we were in West Manor. This was Wes's first game he ever watched as a father, and with his son right there too.
Mm.
First game, for Link. How you feeling?
Felt great. He was in his little football outfit, thanks to our friend Dahlia, who sent him that personalized with Wesleyan on the back. So nice to have him there in his football uniform. It was a great time.
I thought the most explosive play of the night was the poop that he unleashed late in the second quarter.
Minutes after Lakeisha had changed his diaper, he came out and said,
he snuck one in there.
Almost knocked Lakeisha off the couch. It was that powerful. And I guess my final thought is, if you're looking for positives out of Houston, yeah, you didn't get embarrassed, so that's pretty good. But you're not looking to not be embarrassed. You fashion yourself an AFC contender. David Johnson did look good, especially early on when this game was, in doubt, and he played well and had that great little jump cut for the touchdown on the 19-yard run. So that's a positive, and you get the feeling, especially now, who knows, we're going to find out the injury status of Duke Johnson, who left with a leg injury. Johnson might become a workhorse for them.
Hmm. I don't know about using the word embarrassed, but that wasn't a close game, and the Chiefs cruised.
No.
My final thought would be, you know, the old Alec Baldwin quote, for Chiefs fans right now, life is just a boulevard of unbroken green lights. You walk into every game thinking you're going to win when you have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
It's true. And you have green lights, you know, facing you for the next 10, 15 years. It really is a unique and have to be a great feeling for this fan base. I would like to see Billy O'Brien be just like a little more aggressive on fourth down early. Don't punt it away. Go in there knowing that you got to score 40. Know what kind of game it's going to be. I don't know what they would have done schematic wise to make it a bombs away type of game, but man, they never threw the ball down the field at all.
They weren't ready.
That was the only way you're going to win this game and kind of know the situation you're going to be in. Go for it on fourth, go deep, go pass crazy. Don't be balanced.
So Dan, they weren't ready for this game and they weren't ready for the first three quarters of the playoff game against the Bills. They already start getting ready for these games with all this time to prepare.
And you want to hear the worst news? Next week, they welcome the Ravens into their building. So
their schedule is brutal to start the year. And then, it has to be the toughest schedule in the league.
My goodness. So you have to go to Arrowhead on the opening night, which is basically a lamb being led to slaughter. You have the Ravens come to your building. Then you go to Pittsburgh, and then you host the Vikings. And then things soften up a little bit with the Jaguars. But then you have the Titans and Packers after that. So they are entering a situation now. It's one of those things, and it's why the NFL schedule is so much different than other sports. You lose that first game, all of a sudden it starts to get a little hot under the collar. So good luck to the Jaguars.
It's a double playoff schedule right there. I bring this team up a lot, and Wes probably tires of it, because I think I even compared one of your softball teams, one of the Shield teams, to the 89 49ers. When I came home and Luke was saying, I'm rooting for the Texans because the Chiefs beat the Niners
Everybody
in the
drink.
Super Bowl. Right. And
I come around to your way of thinking. That team, I think they ended up going 14-2.
Right.
But they were closer to like 1 or 16-0 juggernaut. They were one of the best teams ever.
Right. And the thing was, every week, if you want to be someone that's out there thinking, I'm rooting against the Chiefs, I'm waiting for something bad to happen, like, you are rolling uphill. Because it just has a look of a team that is going to just find new ways to win, become more powerful by the week. And, we all know a few Chiefs fans, and they kind of struggled and suffered for a long time with teams that came close. Now you have a team that got there, and it's just a question of how many more they can win at this point. And I don't like to jump too far ahead, because these things don't happen that often. But this is a very different situation than some of the other one-off Super Bowl winners we've seen before.
I'm with you. We'd be remiss not to mention, some of the pregame stuff that the Texans stayed, in the locker room, like it used to be back for the first, 70, 80 years of the NFL. They were never outside of the locker room for the national anthem until the last two decades. And, their safety, Justin Reed, said they considered delaying the game, that they had talked about, whether they would come out late, and have the game start late as a way to raise awareness. They decided not to do that. They stayed in the locker room. The teams locked arms at midfield, and the Chiefs crowd that was there booed them pretty hardcore at that moment, which was interesting. We won't see that like in other stadiums, but it is still just a sea change to see the league itself kind of embracing that with the messages on the player's helmet. It's a lot different than it was when Colin Kaepernick.
And most stadiums are going to be empty on Sunday, but it was interesting, the vibe. It felt like week four of the preseason in terms of the crowd, where you have about 15, 20,000 people in there. People are cheering, but because it's such a big space and it's open air, it just doesn't have the same energy, but it's going to be better than other games that we watch
it's
on Sunday.
TV
I think
sport.
It's going to be super odd. It's going to be super odd this week.
I think it can be two things, which is it will be odd. Of course, that is true. But I also think it's a TV sport. And like, if the quality of play is good and the replay, I don't know. It still just felt like NFL football to me.
I think we're also getting a little bit used to it. I mean, football will be a whole different world than baseball and basketball. But how long did it really take you to get used to watching baseball without fans? I'm not saying it's better or worse, but I mean, it's not that jarring that I can't functionally deal with it as a human. I mean, it's a weird year. Hopefully it doesn't stay this way, but I don't know.
As a big baseball fan, I've hated the experience with no fans. I feel like it takes away a lot of the like energy. And for football, you could turn that up and multiply by 10. Arrowhead should have been going bonkers tonight, and that would have added more excitement to it. But that's just, that's the cards we've been dealt as a world right now, and it is what it is.
Well, there's also the player that might not care, and then there's the other player. There are others that talked about how they fuel off the fans. I think football, like all the sports, but there are certain football players that might turn in a different performance with 80,000 people cheering them or booing them.
All right. That's it for the recap of Thursday Night Football. A reminder, You could check out the preview of all the week one games that have not been played yet on your whatever, wherever you listen to your podcast. It was an episode we released earlier on Thursday. So make sure you check that out and then come back, of course, Sunday night, our flagship program of the Around the NFL podcast, where we recap every game played on Sunday. Until then, Dan Hansa signing off for the Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Rick Hollywood behind the glass. Till Sunday night.